It's not very often that we hear from the Old Testament book of Job at Sunday Mass, but his book is a cautionary tale. What is our faith based on? How far can our faith be tested before we would allow it to be taken away or just to drop it altogether and curse God? Job persevered. Job trusted in the Lord when everything went against him, and he was greatly rewarded for that perseverance and his persistence. Today we catch him in chapter 7 where he's talking about his life as nothing but misery. He feels lower than the low. He's basically waiting to die. But if we go back to where the story began 6 chapters earlier, we would see that hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, Job was known as the most prosperous man in the East. Today we would look upon someone like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates. They are the wealthiest people in the world of today. Job was very much considered to be the wealthiest man in the world of his time. He was a proud husband and father, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 1,000 oxen. He had 500 donkeys. He had more land and more money than he knew what to do with. But as you recall, Satan went to God and said, the only reason why Job loves you and believes in you is because of what he has, not because of what's inside. Take all that away and see how fast he will turn on you. Well, the Lord believed in Job even more than Job believed in the Lord. And that is why he allowed this test to commence. And he said, you can't kill him. But Job was tested in every other way. In an instant, everything that mattered to him, all those things that made him in the eyes of others esteemed as a great man, were gone. His family, his land, his livestock, his wealth, eventually his health. He was left with his wife, but she told him in chapter 2, curse God and die, because she thought that he was under a curse himself and she wanted to be far from him. Then his best friends come and say, you must have offended God, and that's why this has happened to you. And so the story progresses with Job having a lot of regret. He curses the day of his birth and the womb that bore him. But no matter how far he is pushed, no matter how much is stripped away from him, Job never cursed God. He never gave in to Satan's temptation to turn on the Lord when everything turned against him. And because of that, Job would be rewarded. But he wasn't even looking for earthly rewards at this point. If you looked at chapter 19, we would see that Job said, I believe that when I die, I shall see the face of God. Job believed in God's promises. Job believed in the Hebrew scriptures that promised a Messiah and a resurrection. And so as this world was passing away and everything in it that brought him pleasure was taken from him, he set his sights on heaven. And in the end, it was that trust in the Lord and that hope of heaven that sustained him through all of his trials and tribulations. And that is why Job was greatly blessed in this life and even more greatly blessed in the next life. And that's a lesson for all of us. But Job isn't the only one who had everything stripped away from him in today's scriptures. St. Paul says to the Corinthians today, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He makes himself a slave of the word of God. And he said, if I preach it, then I'll have a recompense. Fancy word for a reward. And that's all that Paul could look forward to, is a heavenly reward, because all the earthly ones were gone. His conversion to the Christian faith cost him everything. When he was Saul of Tarsus the Pharisee, he was a very wealthy and prominent man in the Tarsus area. He had everybody admiring him, but he was drunk with that power, so much so that he thought that he could even put other people to death and somehow it would please God. That was him persecuting the early Christians. But then, as you recall, on his way to Damascus, where he was going to shed more Christian blood, the Lord knocked him down. The Lord took away his sight. And 3 days later, when the scales fell from Paul's eyes, he never looked at anything the same way again. What mattered before didn't matter anymore. The people he used to hate, he now loves. He hated the Christians. He despised the Gentiles. And all of a sudden, he is a Christian going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But it cost him everything. All of the land, all of the wealth, all the prominence he enjoyed in Tarsus, all gone. Those people viewed him as a traitor. They were actively seeking his death. And the Christians thought he's a Trojan horse that is infiltrating the Christian community to do it great harm from within. All of the earthly honors, all of his earthly concerns, they were gone. All he had left was that hope of heaven's reward, that recompense of which he speaks, and that's what compelled him to trust in the Lord, and that hope of heaven sustained him through all the trials and tribulations that he would endure on his missionary journeys during his life as a Christian. So Job and Paul, they had it all taken away from them. What of someone that has such trust in the Lord and the hope of heaven that they would give it all away? That's Jesus, that's his apostles, and that's what we're called to do. Jesus didn't give everything away once. He gave everything away twice. The first instance is at the incarnation. Let's recall that before the worlds were made, before God created everything out of nothing, Jesus was with God because Jesus is God, and God has always existed. God will always exist, and he's always been a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means that Jesus was in heaven for all eternity, had everything going for him, but he gave up that light and that glory to come down here into our darkness, to be like us in all things but sin. He gave away his heavenly perch by becoming flesh, to dwell among us, to save our flesh. God becoming more like man to help man one day become more like God. That's the first instance where Jesus gave it all away. But then it would happen again. And that was between the Last Supper and the cross at Calvary. At the Last Supper, Jesus pouring out his flesh and blood for us, his Eucharist that still feeds us to this day. On the cross, Jesus pouring out his flesh and blood for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the salvation of our souls, and one day for the resurrection even of our body. Yes, he was stripped of everything. He gave it all away. He gave us even his life. But it was his trust in the Lord and in God's plan, in his hope of heaven, a new life after death that only he could bring from the empty tomb, that sustained Jesus in the most difficult path he had to make, that lonesome road to Calvary. What we can learn from these examples, my friends, is that whether all the things that matter to us are taken away, whether all the things that matter to us are given away, we can't take any of it with us anyway. And so we would do well to spend our life on earth storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven, so that like Job, like Paul, like Jesus, our trust in God and our hope of heaven will be the things that matters most, because in the end, those are the only things that will help us to get where we're going to.